That lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green, she's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a panic of pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons. See what we did there?
Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Well, she's actually in transit. That's the reason why our predictor extraordinaire, who effectively got spot-on results for Sunderland and indeed Millwall and Watford, thanks to her pigeon connection, has obviously decided to step away from that perspective. So we wish Jessica well in her transport as she crosses the Atlantic Ocean from North Carolina back to Dublin as well. But the team is pretty much together. We have Ian Lennox, of course, probably not looking forward to the upcoming Carabao Cup game against another side from Manchester that, again, whether it means anything, I don't know. Last time he faced a side from Manchester at Wembley in the League Cup, it didn't end well, so I suspect this might be a similar result, but there we are. We've got ace author Jenny Finch from Tipperary with us. How are you, Jenny?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. And we've got, of course, the other Jenny, Jenny Bill. I don't think you've written a book as yet, Jenny, but presumably that's because it's just in the general line of writing about Jenny Bill, my life and times and how Newcastle United exploited me as a steward.
I've never worked for them as a steward. I'm a hospitality supervisor.
There you are. And somebody who'll be able to explain why he's still referring back to the Brighton game, but this time it's a centre spread interview with John Whittingham, the 9-0 Borough fan. It, of course, is the man for whom the whole programme is based around. Let's face it, that and Middlesbrough Football Club, Rob Nichols. How are you, Rob?
Good afternoon. I'm fine, thank you. I'm looking forward to Blackpool tomorrow.
Well, exactly. Green Saturday, I believe, as far as clubs are concerned. So it's a case of trying to use public transport or indeed matter transportation devices to travel around the country. And you've done a feature on that, I believe, Rob.
Yeah, it's Green Football Weekend, where clubs and fans are asked to sort of look at green initiatives in football. That I know there's all sorts of things to do with recycling on concourses. For instance, you can't get plastic bottles in football grounds anymore because, obviously, for green reasons. But I realised that from speaking to a couple of fans last week that since COVID, and especially this season, supporters face drastic difficulties getting to games. Obviously, Jenny helped us because of her. She works in transportation. She helped us to give us some advice to get to the Sunderland game a couple of weeks ago.
Was that hitchhiking?
Yeah. So, but actually, it's I found out was a guy I know that goes home and away to Middlesbrough. And he comes from Manchester, which is not a village. It's a big city, and he said that he can no longer get a bus back after a football matches by either National Express or Megabus. He has to miss the second half of the match. He has a similar problem if he goes to London for away matches, in that he can't get the late bus back from there. And then trains, we obviously know there's all sorts of problems with trains, and particularly with people trying to go across country. Trains being cancelled the day before.
Yes, Jenny Bill, what are you doing with respect to transport, doing these kind of crazy things? Take the responsibility.
So, and then I cast the net a bit wider and asked fans at other clubs, and I heard from the Burnley fan that said that despite only living 2 miles from Turf Moor, that he couldn't get a bus or any sort of transport out of the ground after a match on a midweek game. And then a guy I know who lived in New York for many years, has come back to live in Darlington, and he can't get home to Darlington by train or by bus after a midweek match. So people are season ticket holders having to miss matches because they can't get there. And the final thing was the guy from Liverpool, who was a season ticket holder at Middlesbrough, and he said he's having to do a life change. He's having to learn to drive, something that, you know, people in cities often don't drive. They use public transport. Ian's up in a land where you've got a metro linking. So you basically would, you don't need to get in your car to travel between Newcastle and Sunderland and Whitley Bay and places like that. Him from Liverpool, he can't get to a lot of games at Middlesbrough anymore to watch his football team. And it must be facing challenges like that elsewhere as well. So he's having to learn to drive many years into his life, because he has no choice. And if we've got Green Football Weekend this weekend, we can see that. I've been told that the biggest part of the carbon footprint for any football club is gobbled up by home fans travelling to their match, not away fans, home fans going to the match. So if they can't go in any other way than in their car, then that has to be addressed first. And if that situation has got worse this season, then it's a serious issue, and it needs. It needs the transport companies, and it needs the government perhaps to look at it, and it needs football to be putting some pressure on. Because previously, Alex, all I've done is put pressure on the fact that if their matches are cancelled because of TV, that they should be reimbursed in some way from train companies. But now they can't even get a train or a bus to get back from matches.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I was slightly bemused by the recent cup game when Nottingham Forest actually played Blackpool, and Forest insisted to waive on keeping their green credentials by actually having a private jet fly them from Nottingham to Blackpool. So clearly there are sort of key aspects there. Jenny Finch, you're over in Ireland. One of the reasons you left the country was because you could arguably see this happening. Let's face it, we don't want to get political on this particular routine. Is it a case of now from the Emerald Isle, you're looking at this and saying, well, there you go?
On the one hand, yes. On the other hand, we have no public transport near us at all. We have to drive to get to the bus stop, which is nearly 5 kilometres away. And there are two trains a day, one in each direction, that would take us all the way up to Dublin. You can get a coach, but there's only three of them, and you've got to drive 20 kilometres into the nearest town. So we've got serious public transport issues here. They are trying to address them, but they've basically abandoned rural communities, which is everyone outside Dublin, Cork or Limerick, I think. Mm. So, I saw it happening, but it's happening all over the place. It's a big problem.
Sustainability. Ian, any thoughts on yourself? Are you already, as soon as we've wrapped up with this podcast, are you going to be starting the long walk down to Wembley? Because obviously that's the only way you're going to get there.
I'm not really, because I haven't got a ticket. I live only about 2 miles, 2.5 miles from the castle, and I used to be able to walk across the town moor. It's a bit dangerous at night because often the cows are asleep on the path. But I mean, the castle's got a brilliant transport system, I think. It's got a metro system that goes right through links Sunderland and all the coast, South Shields. Big conurbation area, and it's got supported by a bus system as well. I've never had any trouble with public transport. I haven't driven now for 15 years, I think 10, 15 years. Well, I don't miss it.
There we are, the Ian Lennox, I'm all right, Jack approach, always sort of carried with a certain amount of aplomb. Let's move on, Rob, to obviously the Millwall side, much beloved by possibly both Jennies, but certainly Jenny Finch, maybe not. Duncan Watmore's joined them for an undisclosed fee. And obviously at the front cover of Fly Me to the Moon, we do have Thanks for the Memories. A surprise? Yeah. Or did you think, well, you know, at least he gets regular football there?
I was surprised, and a lot of us are, I don't know whether the right word is disappointed. We're very sad to see him go, because obviously his career had come to a finish. It looked like he was not going to play again after a serious knee injury. Neil Warnock signed him on a trial, and he just put everything in to those, was it 4 years? And he was one of the people that kind of lit up the screen for us in lockdown. I'm saying screen because that's how we had to watch the matches. And, you know, just watching his effort and just watching his enthusiasm, the way he ran at opponents, the direct way he played football. It was like going back to the days of Ayrton Park and David Mills and John Hickton and people like that. And whether he was playing for 90 minutes or whether he was coming on for substitute for 9 minutes, he would just put everything into it and immediately get into the game. But of late, he has been nearer 9 minutes than 90 minutes. And I can see for the sake of his career, he needs to be at a place where he's given a long contract and he gets his fair share of starts. But yeah, very sad to see him go. And he, I don't know whether you saw it, but he left a message for Middlesbrough fans and said that, and it was a really nice message, said it was always going to be special. It would be a place in his heart. And he was so thankful for rescuing. As I say, his career was finished and we gave him that chance. So, yeah, we've said on the front cover, thanks for the memories, because he has left us with lots of memories. And we do actually definitely wish him all the best. But just thankful that we don't have to play Millwall again this season. He would score, wouldn't he? No doubt.
Undoubtedly. Borough's leading goal scorer in 2020-21 and 5 goals in 23 appearances this season. So doing quite well. But as one person goes, two more folk actually come in. In fact, more than folk come in. Charlie McNeil and Callum Kavanagh have actually joined. And if you actually go for statistics, well, it's fair to say that one of the contributors to Fly Me to the Moon, the actual fanzine, has gone particularly heavily on a recent signing from Rotherham. Would you like to deal with Dana Maltz? Views on Dan, the man for Borough.
Dana, she's very good on the stats, and Dan Barlaser was a youth player at Newcastle United, so he's returning to the northeast. I might have got his pronunciation wrong because he's only just joined us, but he has a fantastic record at assists. I think he vies with our left back, our left wing back Giles, for some of the highest figures in the championship. And when you think he's playing at a team that are 20th in the division, it's quite exciting to think that we've signed somebody else who can prize apart defences with what used to be called in Kenneth Wilson-Holmes days, a slide rule pass. So quite excited to see him. We've also signed a young lad from Aston Villa called Aaron Ramsey, whose brother's playing in the first team at the moment. And he seems to... Aaron Ramsey played for Norwich at the start of the season until he got injured. And he's generally thought of as a really hot prospect. Again, an attacking midfield player. So I think getting both those players in and, of course, Cameron Archer before that allowed us to release... that was to release Duncan Watmore. Sorry.
we've already forgotten him. You know, we've already forgotten him. He's gone. It's okay. We understand that. He's Millwall. He's dead to us. You know, that's the key.
It's the emotion. I'm welling up all over again. That's what it is.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
according to Dana Malt, in the Borough squad, only Riley McGree has more shot creating actions per 90 minutes than Dan Barlaser or Barlaser. Who knows? I'm sure we'll find out.
We'll find out
in the fullness of time. Ian, doubtless, you know, given that you like to obviously follow all teams in the Northeast, you've been paying particular attention, I'm sure, to Middlesbrough. Do you feel as though my line in the last Fly Me to the Moon podcast, which said that probably automatic promotion is not on the table, having beaten Watford, do you feel that actually maybe it could be?
Well, it's a possibility, but I don't know how. There's two teams way ahead, aren't there?
Well, Burnley and Sheffield United respectively have 62 points and 57 points and have played
only
that
game less. They look very strong teams as well. They look physically strong to me, and they're not a bunch of kids or anything like that, so I think you can just bank on that and just hope you can win the playoffs. I think you're certainly getting the playoffs, and if Agpon keeps up his form, I've always said that the key to getting out of the championship is to have a reasonably good striker, and you've got one.
Yeah.
So I think we've got every chance in the playoffs.
Of course, Sheffield United nearly got the comeuppance at Hollywoodville, Wrexham, last weekend, where it was a last gas equaliser kept them in the cup. So there is hope that teams might overcome Sheffield United. But
well, it can happen, yes.
But I agree with you. They've got a lot of points. They've got a lot of experience and actually a lot of experience of getting out of the league, haven't they, this division? So,
yeah. I mean, I had to sit and watch Newcastle United, 12 points clear of Manchester United, lose the title in 1998.
Yes, but Ian, you wouldn't have loved it if that had happened. You wouldn't have loved it if they'd beaten it. You left that for Kevin Keegan to actually say, love it if that actually could. And besides, you might have a similar sort of disaster next time you play United at Wembley, but let's not talk about
Alex,
that.
I keep on telling you, your subjective mind takes you on strange paths.
Well, that's part and parcel of the rich tapestry of our experience. Stan writing post-Kafkaan tale, something I'm going to ask Jenny Finch about. We have gone, Borough that is, from third bottom to third top. These sort of things don't happen to Borough. It would usually be the other way round. Do you feel that with Michael Carrick now improving on Brian Robson's best ever record since he was manager of Middlesbrough, suddenly the good times are back on Teesside?
It is quite remarkable. It's an astonishing turnaround, and it's a delight to see. I mean, they are third at the moment. It's very close. You've got Middlesbrough and Luton on the same number of points, and Luton have got a game in hand. Then you've got Watford 1 point behind. Then you've got Blackburn, who've also got a game in hand, 2 points behind. So it's incredibly close. But it is... You just wouldn't have expected it at the beginning of the season. I was hoping they'd just avoid getting relegated. They were such a shambles. And suddenly they are coming good. It's nice to see.
If you had a league table from when Mr. Carrick took over as manager, where would Middlesbrough be in the table? Does anybody know?
I think we would
third.
We'd be in the top two.
Yeah. Well, that's the guideline, really.
Yeah,
because they're Middlesbrough, the form horse, aren't they?
Yeah.
Jenny Bill, do you feel as though we've also put page to the traditional January curse of the early year collapse, so much beloved of Borough fans over the years?
Well, it's February now, so the answer's yes.
Right, go on. She knows how stuff that lasts.
Finger clearly on the pulse, which is great. Let's just gently segue into happening to be in the Middlesbrough Little Theatre bar, the assistant bar or the bar in Middlesbrough. Then you're approached by an elderly man, not Ian Lennox, who effectively says, "What about Brighton or whatever?" Tell us, Rob, how did John Whittingham enter your life in terms of becoming the centre spread package, and indeed also referring to Attila the stockbroker, who I wasn't even aware was still alive with Brighton?
Attila the stockbroker plays quite often at the Little Theatre Club, which is our Toft House in Middlesbrough. He usually appears when Brighton are playing either Middlesbrough or Newcastle, but fortunately he didn't come this season. Which is just as well, because he would have had a grin ear to ear. So basically, I was there for a gig the other week, not Attila the stockbroker, and John Whittingham, who I know is often will say a few words to me. And he came up to me and he said, "I've got a story for you." He said, "I wonder if there are any other fans in the 9-0 Borough fan club." And then he told the tale. He said, "Of course, many fans would have been there when Middlesbrough's record win in 19. Many fans are still alive in 1958 when we beat Brighton 9-0. That's and hence the Attila the stockbroker reference, because Attila used to do the PA at Brighton for many years, and he's still a massive fan. In that game was the first game of the season, and Brian Clough scored 5 goals in that game. So. And I know a couple of fans who it was their first ever game, and I always think, what a game to start seeing a 9-0 win and seeing the centre forward scoring 5 goals. In some respects, it's been all downhill for them since. But in the 50s, not many people used to travel away. And he told the story of how 4 years before, he went by coach to Blackburn playing in a football school, in a school's football tournament, which I've looked up and still exists to this day between the three St Mary's colleges of Middlesbrough, Hull and Blackburn. They lost that game and then went to Ewood Park to see the Borough play at Blackburn, and he told all his mates, "Oh, just you wait and see what we might have lost that game." And then, of course, Blackburn hammered us to our record defeat, 9-0. He says he doesn't remember much about it, and I think that's, your memory blocks out bad times, doesn't it? All he does remember is every time they attacked, they scored.
Yeah, I think Ipswich Town are still desperately keen for somebody to actually take over their record as being thrashed in the Premier League by 9 goals. Ian, ever seen any 9-goal victories for your side? Or is it a case of, no, we never really have much strikers at Newcastle?
I've seen a couple of eights, I think. And we beat, when I was a young lad, I think we beat Everton 8-2, I think it was, or something like that. And I know that in the late 40s, we I think it was Len Shackleton's debut for us. We won 13-1 or something against, wow. I can't remember who it was now.
Okay.
I've seen a few one-sided games, but usually on the wrong side of the wrong side.
Well, clearly, Rob, the message to Middlesbrough is they need to beat Blackpool 13-1 tomorrow to actually ensure that things work through on that basis. Speaking of 13-1...
Of course, I've seen a couple of eight-goal wins, haven't
yeah,
I, Alex?
Yeah, thank you, Rob. Let's just step away from that side of things, because it was Sven-Göran Eriksson's last game in charge.
Who did we beat? It wasn't that long ago.
We have moved on, and Sven's moved on as well. So there we are. Jenny Finch, talking about high scores, it's the Calcutta Cup. What are your thoughts on the new regime post-Australian Eddie Jones that England will be putting forward to hopefully grab that Calcutta back from the fiendish Scottish folk?
Well, it looks very hopeful, but until they run out on the field and start scoring tries and don't just kick the ball from one end to the other, rugby tennis, then I shall wait and see. But they are playing at Twickenham. They have got their tails up. They have got a couple of very nice, good new players coming in. And it will be interesting to see what Borthwick has in mind and whether they're actually able to think for themselves for a while and just get on and play some decent rugby. I'm hoping.
Ian Lennox, will you be following the lozenge ball game, or is it a case
of
no? Yes,
I do. Yeah, I like international rugby. My father was a very good rugby player. Actually, he captained England universities, and during the war, he was at RAF Stafford, and they had a huge camp there. And the team of 15 consisted of my dad, a Scottish international, and 13 rugby league players. Who he said they were all professionals, and he said they were absolutely from another world. So they're far, far superior. And I must admit, the rugby league games I've seen, they play running rugby, and England haven't for a long time now.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see what the rugby union thing provides. That's a little divertisement from that point of view. Let's move, Rob, to football verse. It's time for the Jimmy Flynn rendition. And I think we're back in the phase of being able to do a joint package here. Are you ready, Mr. Nichols, to actually join me in the Jimmy Flynn homage?
I am, yes.
Okay, off you go. Football verse.
Has there ever been a simpler yet more popular invention than an object designed to be kicked? The main intention.
A pig's bladder in a leather case, inflated with air and tied with lace.
With a circumference 28 inches round and weighing a maximum of 1 whole pound.
The humble football. An inanimate orb with inordinate power, attention to absorb.
Lending its name to a game played worldwide between two teams competing 11 aside.
With the object of the game to get the ball into the opposition net.
A game seemingly simple and banal, fueling emotions and feelings febrile.
With the power to lift fans to the height of gladness and plunge them to the depths of sadness.
With an incomprehensible potency, passions to ignite, and national fervour and tribalism ignite.
Has there ever been a simpler yet more popular invention than an object designed to be kicked, the main intention.
Main intention.
So, Jenny Bill, any thoughts on that, which kind of sums up the whole notion of the right size ball game as opposed to the lozenge shaped ball game? Sorry, rugby fans.
I actually quite liked that one. I thought that was rather good.
What, you mean you don't like Jimmy's other poems? You know, are you going to be dissing Jimmy Flynn now?
I didn't say I didn't like them. I just said I particularly liked that one.
Oh.
And that was what I was saying.
Okay.
You're going to put you in your place, can't you?
Jenny Finch, your thoughts on Jimmy's latest offering for Fly Me to the Moon?
I agree with Jenny Bill. I particularly like that one. And I think it's nice because it brings the fans in and everybody else, the kind of following of football in as well, as opposed to just being about football or particular footballers, some of whom are so up themselves.
No.
Yeah. Well done, Jimmy.
Paul Pogba, up himself? Never. Surely not. Just a
and Jimmy was a goalkeeper in his time, of course, so he would have handled a lot of footballs. So maybe goalkeepers can be philosophers, can't they?
Can anyone explain to me why the Americans call their game football when they throw the ball all over the place? They never kick the ball.
Well, rugby football,
wait until Jessica's back with us, and then you can actually ask that question happily. No. You know,
they'll only bring in the pigeons to it, Alex. We all know that.
On a slightly more somber note, Rob, it's sad. Well, it's good, but it's sad at the same time that the first food bank collection of 2023 is also being arranged by Middlesbrough Supporters Forum. Would you like to just share some information about that? Obviously, ahead of the Blackpool game on Saturday.
Yeah, we now have regular food bank collections at the Riverside. They're very necessary, and that's just for Middlesbrough Food Bank. It becomes really important to the food bank to get those collections of money and food. And this one's going to be slightly different in that the MFC Foundation have joined up with Michael Carrick Foundation, and they're appealing for football boots. So if anyone's got any football boots, and then they're donated to kids' sides that haven't got boots. Or it could be adults, of course, who haven't got boots. And also looking for any warm clothes, because if anyone's coming to the match and has got like a coat or a jumper or something, because obviously, you know, people are, it's cold and people are having difficulty heating their homes. So it's a three-way appeal, really. It's for food and clothes and football boots. And look for the van that's parked behind the North Stand, near the North Stand ticket office. And it'll be there from noon, really, till kickoff time.
And your thoughts on Michael Carrick? I mean, clearly we've talked about his success. I mean, there is a certain connection with MC for MFC. Do you feel that actually, from his own line, that he's really on the case now? Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel happy? And the Carrick-Woodgate axis is going to lead us into the promised land.
He's a very calm and assured figure, isn't he? And that really helps in situations like losing to Burnley before Christmas and losing at Sunderland. He just sort of gets on with it the next match. He doesn't put any pressure on himself or any expectation. He just says, hopefully we'll win the next game. But you know behind the scenes that he's working really hard with the team. And it just brings everybody... It just stops any sort of hysterics and everything. And it's the way to have some momentum, isn't it? And it's the way to hopefully keep a home league, winning league run going, because that's what it's based on, isn't it? Winning all your home games. And it's great to have this second home game in a row, because you said...
I was just wondering, Rob, is it during the January window... Was there any fears at Middlesbrough that someone was going to come in for Akpon? Were there any rumours about that sort of thing happening? Because
there was rumours linking him with Everton, but
they'll be in the Championship next season, guaranteed with Sean Dyche, surely.
Yeah, I mean that's the question, isn't it? Akpon's had a career that's not been. He had a lot of potential as a young lad. He was at Arsenal. He was picked out as being one of the players to watch for the future. And then his career sort of knows it just didn't fulfill at all. And he's a sensible lad, and he knows that he's just having this the season of his life, and he just wants to keep that going. It's really interesting when you listen to him. I think, as you said last time, Ian, that you know, he studies his opponents. He studies the way his teammates play. He makes sure he's very thoughtful about how he makes his runs into the box and how he does everything. Mm-hmm. He just you can see it as his confidence grows. He tries more things, and he's learning again. It's kind of like his second year. So I don't think I wasn't too fearful, because I thought he knows fully what he has to lose, really, and that, you know, keep building in this way. And so I'm hopeful that he's going to get to 20 goals this season, which will be the little
things I saw about him, and I haven't seen much of him, is he seems to have the ability to find space in the penalty area. Yes. He doesn't run into the crowd. In other words, he runs into the space in the penalty area, and the ball seems to find him.
Because he's playing as a number under Carrick, he's playing as a number 10. So
right, I see.
Yeah, he isn't right at the point of everything. Therefore he's kind of setting up the chances, but then he makes that late run, and he's often not picked up. And he knows it's often Giles who's making the assists, and now we hope Barlasser will do as well. And he'll be working quite you know, carefully with those players.
I saw Barlasser play as a young lad, and he was very promising. He's got a lot of technique and skill. I wouldn't say he would probably beat me over 100 yards, but
that's a shocker, Ian.
Hey.
That's a shocker.
Yes, I know. No, if he comes off, he'll be a great asset to you. He really will. I hope he does. We've got a player called Sean Longstaff, who has been missing goals, but he's been getting to areas. He runs into the box, and he went to Alan Shearer, and Shearer said, just do keep on doing what you're doing, because the goals will eventually come. And I think he had, against Southampton in the midweek, he had 6 or 7 scoring chances from midfield. Mm-hmm. And the second goal, he ran 50 yards to get into the penalty area. And the ball found him, and he was on his own, and he hit it first time. Whereas before, he'd been hitting the ball over the bar, he didn't hit one over the bar. Oh, I think he might hit one over the bar last week. But if he keeps that form up, he'll be a remarkable player.
And much as we'd love to spend time reminiscing about Newcastle United successes, it is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, the one for Borough supporters.
It's so the price you have to pay to get me to talk, Alex.
It's very true. Although it has to be said that Ben Lewis was devastated that you chose to have an optician's appointment rather than actually go head-to-head with our Brighton supporting lad yesterday on another radio show. But I'm sure we'll come back to you beforehand. That's for another time. Predictions. Jenny Finch, Middlesbrough versus Blackpool. What's your score?
Blackpool are having a really hard time, and their recent form is not very good. I'd say 3-0 to Middlesbrough.
Even with Mick McCarthy in place as Blackpool manager. Interesting. Jenny Finn, Jenny Bill.
2-0 to Middlesbrough.
2-0 to Middlesbrough. Okay. Ian Lennox.
I think 3-0 as well. They've lost the last 5 games away, apparently. And Middlesbrough are going to attack them.
Rob, are you going to go 13-1 to Middlesbrough?
No, not 9-0, or not 8-1 either, Alex. I'll go 2-0 as well. But I basically don't want to get carried away here, because these are the sort of games that where everything on paper looks like it's an easy one. Having played very lot of difficult fixtures, we have to really be concentrating tomorrow, because
They obviously game Southampton a good game in the cup. It was 2-1, was it there?
Yeah,
and then very briefly, because we have the pre and post Valentine's Day away games on the 11th of February, Middlesbrough head down to Wales to go up against Cardiff City, and then on Wednesday, the 15th of February, they're away to Sheffield United before we resume things at home to QPR. So, Jenny Bill, Cardiff City, Middlesbrough.
Oh, God, they're putting me right on the spot. A draw. 2-2 draw.
2-2. I mean, clearly Middlesbrough won't be using rail transport to get there, or if they do, good luck. And Jenny Finch?
I think it'll be 2-1 to Middlesbrough.
Do you want to
They've got the tails up now.
Much as your Tibetan canine friends have in Puppy Brain. See the way I segued into that particular mention for Puppy Brain, which of course was co-authored with yourself and your cousin, whose name is?
Jeremy Cooney.
There we are. And Ian, Cardiff City, Middlesbrough.
I think 1-1, that one.
Okay, and Rob?
I'm going to go for 2-1 as well. We should win that. They're under a lot of pressure, but still, it's never easy playing in South Wales. But I think the more difficult game is going to be the Sheffield United. We got absolutely hammered last season there. So
we don't want to repeat that. Jenny Bill, I know you're fond of Sheffield United because of their Christmas hampers. Any prediction for that one?
Yeah, they're bribing me.
You want to pass the one, Jenny.
You want a prediction for the match?
Sheffield United, Middlesbrough.
I'd have to say I think 3-1 to Sheffield.
Jenny Finch, you've had two wins for Middlesbrough. Will this be a third in a row, or will you go for a score draw?
I think they have, if they're going to have a hope of surviving in the Premiership, they have to be able to beat teams like Sheffield United or at least get a draw. I'd go 1-1.
And Ian Lennox?
I'm afraid I can't see them beating or even drawing with Sheffield United at the moment. I think it'll be 2-1 to Sheffield. But I hope I'm wrong.
Rob, finally, before we say how people can subscribe or indeed get hold of back issues of Fly Me to the Moon, what's your scoreline for Sheffield United?
Well, I can't predict a loss, obviously. I think it's going to be really difficult. And we've got some unfinished business from getting absolutely hammered and embarrassed last year. But I'm going to go for 1-1 draw and hope in my heart that we somehow edge it.
Well, Cameron Archer is, of course, with you as well these days and not just hiding somewhere in the riverside. Finally, Rob, how can people actually subscribe for the rest of the season to Fly Me to the Moon, the paper edition?
Yeah, if you go to fmttmborough.com and click on the fanzine shop, and you can buy all the back issues there. Subscription, well, there's only three left, I think. But I'm sure that if you make contact, we can work out something.
A deal can be sorted out. Much as obviously Zach Stefan is being praised by Michael Carrick and not being picked on, which is always good to see because he clearly wants to have a few more clean sheets. So to Jenny Bill, to Jenny Finch, to Ian Lennox and Rob Nichols, that's it. Rob, it's time for you to lead the team, the quintet of quality, in those final words to wrap up this podcast companion to issue 633, Borough versus Blackpool.
1, 2, 3... Come on, Borough.
Come on, Borough.
Come on, Borough.
Up the Borough.